Deluna Coffee, come explore our world of coffee. Founded by the first family of Florida State Coffee and based in Pensacola, Florida, Deluna Coffee is the driving passion of the Lemix family. Ed, his wife Courtney, and their son Brett. Their tailgating spot out front, the Unconquered Statue, is their own slice of paradise. But the real delight is Deluna's blend of Kona, Maui, Kenya, Colombian, and Brazilian beans that they call their liquid gold brew. In fact, they called it paradise. Try it or one of their two dozen blends and get a discount when you use the promo code WARCHANT15. Visit DelunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali, it's time
to wake up.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by Deluna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
It's Miami week. It's Wake Up WarChant. It's fueled by Deluna Coffee. DelunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Take the promo code that Wake Up WarChant provides, which is WarChant15. When you go to DelunaCoffee.com, you can save 15% on all the great coffees that are available at their website. WarChant.com, your ultimate seminal sports source. Promo code is WarChant30. Thumbs up on YouTube. 5-star rating and review on Apple, iTunes, podcasts, whatever app they use over there. Feeling it, Corey. Feeling it. It's cold, so I'm making coffee again. I'm not doing my cold brew stuff. A little 15:59 flowing through the veins.
Oh, all right.
I think that's going to be the final score of this one. I think it's going to be 15 Miami, 59 Knowles.
Wouldn't that be something? It'd be like UMass all over again.
Let's go. Does Florida State have a chance in this game if Jordan Travis doesn't play?
No.
Okay.
No. No, I don't. I just look, man, they can't move the ball efficiently with that. Like, I thought Dillingham was really good on Monday. He always is. Again, half of it's over my head. I don't know if he's doing that intentionally. But half of it's over my head. But he's talking about, like, the adjustment they made in the second half is they got those splits really wide on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And he's like, for two drives, it worked. It helped out. But then, you know, they made the inevitable adjustment, and they started twisting and stunning up front, and the lanes kind of cleared up. And, the lanes came back to being clogged. And, you can only do so much with a quarterback that can't move, doesn't have arm strength. I mean, that's the thing. I feel bad for Milton because you can tell he still sees the game the right way.
Yeah.
He still sees it. He probably sees it better than he ever has. He had 2 years off, essentially, and from playing, and he already saw it really well back in 18, clearly. But he just can't. He can't drive off his foot. He can't throw the ball with much authority, and he can't move at all. So that would be a recipe for not a lot of points if McKenzie Milton was back there, because I think you could run on Miami, but only if all three guys in the backfield are a running threat.
So, Mike Norvell, should I say it? Yeah, I mean, he was like, hey, thanks for not telling anybody about how many guys were out last week. We appreciate it. So, I mean, if you guys are here for Jordan Travis updates, I don't know, like, what are we going to be able to do? You know? I mean, we've said, hey.
Well, here's the thing, dear listeners. I feel like, because I don't go to practice. I went to all the August ones, and then I just kind of, that Notre Dame game took a lot out of me. But if you hear that he's at practice, like, I feel like the updates would say, oh, yeah, Jordan Travis did this, he looked good in this, or whatever the updates might say, or you might talk about it. And if you don't hear us talking about seeing Jordan Travis at practice, then you can deduce what you will without us having to say Jordan Travis wasn't at practice.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right?
What kind of concerns me, I didn't even think about this. I was like, all right, he'll be back. It's okay. But, I mean, if he has influenza, like if this is really like a true influenza A outbreak. Man,
like he's on the Oregon Trail in the 1830s or something.
Yeah, and dysentery is about to maybe even creep its way into his immune system.
Yeah, why not with Jordan Travis? That's next.
Well, I was going to say, man, like, you know, his bones aren't as dense as you would hope. His immune system isn't as resilient as you would hope. if somebody were to say that the Florida State bus got rear-ended on the way to Doak from the hotel in Georgia and four players got dinged up, what are the odds that it's Jordan Travis, one of the four guys? Right? You know, just unfortunately, he's the straw that's stirring this drink right now. But there's a legitimate chance, like, if he does have the flu, and Norvell, again, doesn't like being specific about injuries. I did like his overall demeanor at the press conference on Monday. Maybe we'll dip back into that here in a minute. But there's like a legitimate possibility that if he has the flu, like if he has influenza A, and he had it, and Norvell did say like he was really struggling with it last week, man, there's no guarantee that right. He's going to be fine today, tomorrow, Thursday. And I don't know at what point, and listen, and another thing too, and this may be just fatalist thinking, but, you know, people on War Chant are saying this. I'm like, that's actually not a bad sort of, I mean, it is a bad thought, but it's accurate. Like, yeah, you could drop 10, 15 pounds. Like, if you're not eating and you're feverish and you know, and then you got to get ready to play Miami, not maybe the even, so I don't know, man. Can we just get a whole bunch of emergency? Can we get an NIL deal and just start getting them IVs of that stuff? Because, yeah, again, I'm, you know, I think Jordan Travis is better than a lot of quarterbacks in the ACC. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's the best option they have. And I don't want to lose to Miami. So
he's the only option they have, like, to win a game. Like, again, Tate Rodemaker can't beat out this Mackenzie Milton. So he can't get on the field, even when Mackenzie Milton, who can't move, who's playing on one leg, puts up 0 points in a half. Tate Rodemaker's not – they don't even think about going to him. So that tells you where Tate Rodemaker is in their eyes. And then we saw what Milton is. And we've seen what Milton is all year. And then the other guy's not here. So, yeah, man, that Jordan Travis is the only way right now that they can compete against decent teams, against bowl teams. He's the only shot, only chance they got. Next year that needs to change. You hope it does change. But right now that's where you are. So, yeah, that's the watch is like – and you're right. Like, even if he comes back on Wednesday, well, how much weight did he lose? How much strength did he lose? Because that thing saps you, man. If you get the wrong kind of it, it can really sap you. So, you know, hopefully he'll be out there later on today, Aslan. When people are listening to this, Jordan Travis is out there zinging passes around and looking good and looking spry, running around. Yeah, but that is a he is the most – I mean, quarterbacks always are. It's almost like – although it didn't really play out this weekend in a couple of games, I don't think, but like specifically the Arizona 49ers game. But the drop-off between an NFL starting quarterback and his backup, that's what this feels like. Like if Jameis Winston goes down, and this isn't a good example either because Simeon actually beat the Bucks, but with the help of a pick six, but like or Brady goes down or Matt Ryan goes down, you know, the drop-off between – the guy that you have at the top and the dude you just have there for depth is enormous. And, that's kind of what this feels like. Like, I don't see how you put up. I mean, you haven't. Mackenzie Milton's played four games, like the majority of four games, including one against an FCS team. The most he's put up, I think, is 23. I think in two touchdowns is the most he's scored leading the offense in any of the four games that he's played the majority of the snaps in. So, no. And you're not going to beat Miami with 14 to 20 points. It ain't happening.
What is the antithesis of a battle rap? Because whatever that is, I want it to be done between you and Kenny about how sort of bullish you guys are on Jordan Travis. I love it. I love it, man.
Oh, when we're together, like a tandem rap.
Yeah, like you guys just going
here
back and
comes,
forth. Just...
Here comes Dilly. Tell him what's up, Dilly. Like, yeah. I can be the hype man. Okay, yeah, well, no, I mean, I see what you're doing. Like,
Jordan's the man, highest QBR in the land versus Clemson, yo. And then you come back and you just talk about always scores 30, never let me down, Jordan Travis. He ain't no clown.
Boom, boom, are you write these? Are these in front of you?
No, but, you know, I mean, I liked Kenny. Kenny and I are on the outs right now. Mike's back in the penthouse hanging out with me. Oh. Kenny,
because, he'll be so relieved.
I know, right? I couldn't find a way to properly ask it, but like I get the Clemson thing. I get it. That's a really good defense. It's a really good coordinator. I really would have liked to see Jordan play against NC State because they're kind of a step down talent-wise.
But still very good. Yes. But still a good defense, yeah.
Yeah, because, again, to get a really good feel for how, you know, legitimate, how much of a path forward this is for 2022, maybe 2023, and how much you would have learned about him because – He got a pass, by and large, from Kenny, it sounded like, after the Clemson game, because just Clemson's talented. And then when I was trying to ask him about, you know, he still is young. We get that. You know, he didn't get the opportunity to play NC State. I forgot how – but I wanted to kind of know, like, were you hoping he would have been able to play that game just so you guys could kind of tell whether or not this really is something you guys can build around long term? And he just comes out the gate like, well, hey, listen, he had the highest quarterback rating of anybody that's played Clemson.
Hey, and that's something. Like, that's something. Not Kenny Pickett, my man. J-Trav 13. I think you were asking.
I mean,
it,
if you want to talk about, we got to throw PFF out the window. We got to throw quarterback. I mean, I don't know if it's QBR or quarterback rating. I can't imagine. Like, Malik Cunningham ran through them for 100 something yards.
Yeah,
he didn't throw the ball all that well, but neither did Jordan. I can't.
Well, I think QB rating takes mostly into account what you do with your arm. And Jordan threw for whatever he was. I think it was like 13 of 20, 14 of 21 for. I mean, it was over 200 until that ill-fated final play. I think that's where the QB rating comes from. I certainly didn't think he was anything incredible, but nobody is against that defense. I think your question was going to be, I get it. It was a missed opportunity to see what this guy is against a good but not elite defense.
Yeah.
You didn't get a chance. Now, you've gotten to see him twice against Notre Dame, and he put up 26 and 28. I'll just give him the 28. I won't give him the touchdown that he drove them half off the goal line. We'll give that to McKenzie, but he scored 28 against Notre Dame, 26 against Notre Dame, and then 30 against everybody else except Clemson, where he, you know, they really did bottle him up. But I was interested, like we talked about all week, is like, what was NC State going to do from that blueprint to try to stop Travis? And we didn't have to find out because he did not play. But you got three more games, hopefully, crossing your fingers. You've got three more games to evaluate. And I really don't know what he could do these next three games that would cement his job in 2022. I don't think anything is cemented. I mean, look, if he goes into Florida, if he goes 3-0, which, yeah, you know, is a possibility, it's not a probability, but it's a possibility, and I guess they average 35, 38 points per game, yeah, I guess that would make you feel good. But again, how many times this year has Jordan Travis not been able to play? So you always go into that season, the next season, you have to come to grips with the fact that this kid might not be available and probably won't be available for the whole season. And are you okay with just having Duffy back there, Duffy and Rodemaker? Do you need somebody else in there just for depth purposes? A Hornibrook type. Like, it's going to be interesting to see if they feel like going through the portal again, even if Travis has a good final three games. And if he doesn't, then you definitely are going to be looking for something in the portal for competition, if nothing else. Because you can't assume that A.J. Duffy's going to come in and be the dude right away.
Crypto this, Bitcoin that. You cannot escape the ubiquitous nature that is cryptocurrencies right now when it comes to investing your money. You're probably curious how it all works, how you can get started. There's got to be somebody out there that you can give some money to and then get you started on the right path. But that's like a middleman. You got to give them fees and stuff. Power's in your hands. Power is at Kraken.com/warchant. Search Kraken in the App Store, K-R-A-K-E-N. With Kraken, you can buy and sell over 50 of the most popular cryptos like Bitcoin, like Dogecoin, like Ethereum, all on the go every single minute of every single day right there on your phone. It's so easy to get started. Just download the app, create your account, bing, bang, boom. It's really quick, and you can invest in minutes. And again, man, Bitcoin right now, like a whole coin is, I think it's over $60,000 still. I mean, we ain't got that kind of money. You know, come on. But you can get started on Kraken with as little as $10, and you can climb. You can climb with as little as $10. Find out for yourself why Kraken has been one of the highest rated places to buy crypto for the last 10 years. Again, visit Kraken.com/warchant or search Kraken in the App Store.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right then, Corey, this is the weird thing. That, I mean, you said he could cement if he goes 3-0. And this, again, comes to a lot of my sort of angst, frustration with everything, is that there's, like, I just want this moment. Like, I want this one game. I want this one drive. I want this one moment where we'll just know. I want this, like, epiphany. I want this epiphanical. Is that even a word? It's probably not a word. But, like, this, even the Miami game won't be that, right? Because the Florida game looms. So if you get right by Florida, so I wonder, as important of a game as this is, man, it's important because even Iris said it was important in the wrap. Because you need good stuff to happen at this time of year. So what are we hoping for other than a win? How much are we really going to be able to judge future trajectory on this game?
I mean, it would be nice to start stacking some W's together. It'd be nice to get a W, but man, I don't know. I think it's been said. I've said it. You know it. You've said it. Like, I think the trajectory is upward, but it's maybe not at the angle that anybody wants. I do think it's getting better, but it's like the that dude on The Price is Right in that game, the yodeler.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's going up a little bit at a time. He's not going up, you know, 40 different – I can't remember how that game worked. It's been a minute, everyone. I was a Bob Barker guy.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's not going nearly as fast up that cliff as we want, or probably not even at that steep incline that you want right now, but they are getting better. So – I don't know, man. If you finish 4-8, if they play these last three games like they played kind of every game since the second half of Louisville, you know, I'll feel decent about them. It's hard to say you'd feel good. I don't care if they win or lose. If they're in those games
what?
In the fourth quarter,
you care if they win or lose.
No, I care if they win. If they lose, it doesn't mean that it's a wash. It doesn't mean that this coaching staff can't get it done. And these players are failures.
Why do they get this weird grading scale then to where we're – like, I understand. I'm not trying to be difficult.
I mean,
but
I think it's just because of how bad last year was, man, and how bad they were. I mean, they lost to Jacksonville State.
This was
the worst program in the country.
Like, this team for sure is better than last year. Absolutely. No one can argue otherwise. This team is absolutely, undoubtedly better than last year.
And you're bringing in the recruiting class you're bringing in. Right now.
For now.
That helps too, right? That helps too. That's the thing when people are going to want to compare Mike and Willie. Willie didn't have that in his back pocket.
Yes.
That recruiting class, there was nothing there to be excited about.
Is this team significantly better than 2019? You know, and that's because I understand, like, if we're going to judge Norvell based on what he did last year, I get it. Like, that trajectory, yes. Totally moving at the right angle. Like, we're at like a 45-degree angle. Like, we're shooting good. Like, if you look at 19, like, listen, none of us felt great about 19. The coach got fired. Nobody was sad about that. There is a level of
this. I think it's similar, right? Like, if you go back and look at that 19 team, there were a lot of close losses. There was one, I think, again, Clemson beat the bejesus out of them, but I think that was it. Clemson and Florida, right?
Yes.
Were the only two teams that just beat the tar out of them, and they were the two best teams they played, I think. But all those other losses, like at Wake, the Boise game,
Virginia,
the Virginia game. They were in those games, which was a step from what they had looked like the year before. But then you had and the Miami game, man, they were completely non-competitive in that game in the second half. Like, didn't have any chance to move the ball at all. He also hadn't recruited a quarterback in 2 years. So there was nothing coming down the pipeline that you felt great about. You had James Blackman and Howell, and then Howell bounces. So you had nothing. Except Jordan Travis, who I don't even know if it's somebody. Clearly, it wasn't even somebody Willie wanted.
Well, no,
Willie never played him.
No, because Howell was a 19 prospect. So, yeah, even that 19 season, no, Howell was already at North Carolina doing well.
Yeah, so they had the Jeff Sims kid committed.
Yes.
Yeah, and you see that guy. Like, okay, he can move, he can
run.
But
at least he's there. Chubba's not here.
But he's, I mean, Jeff Sims hasn't done anything at all to impress me. So I think the program is in a better place. I know you roll your eyes at this, but it's in a better place culturally. It's in a better place culturally. Result by result, no. It's the same. It's a team that loses more close games than it wins, which is what this team is. But, you know, that's the trajectory this thing is on. It was awful in 18 because, remember, those losses were just ridiculous.
Yes.
19, too many losses, but they were closer. And then 20, it fell into a crater because you brought in a whole new coaching staff and you had this little pandemic thing. And it fell into a crater. And again, I just think that was the worst team of our lifetimes in Florida State history. It almost did a disservice to them to play the Duke game. And it did a disservice to them to pull off the North Carolina game. Like, they literally, Aslan, and you know it, were close to being winless.
Yes.
I mean, they were not close in those games. So that's why I think the growth has been more from 20 to 21 than it was from 18 to 19. And I like that some of the young guys can play. I just like the continuity of the coaching staff. I think they're going in the right direction, but are they going at the speed of a cheetah? No. Is it a sloth? I don't think that either. I think it's somewhere in the middle, probably closer to a sloth than a cheetah, but I do think it's going in the right direction. And it's like, I mean, it's almost like what good is it to talk about it? You do know they're getting better, and we're all frustrated that their record is their record. But he's going to be here next year, clearly.
Right.
Clearly. Yeah. So with that in mind, it's just a matter of, okay, how much more can you prove to us? How much more can you show us in these next three games? And I used to always make fun of Jimbo when he would say it, but it's the darn truth, man. The process matters more than the results right now. It just does. Because if you just get hung up on the fact that this team is 3-6 and last year's team is 3-6, so there's been no improvement at all, then you don't watch the games and have eyes.
Correct.
So that's all. But it's not improving. Like, you know, I think people will hear, like, especially me and Ira and Jeff probably, come off as these apologists.
Headlines are going to be crazy later today, man. You guys are all on the same page. Like, what makes you guys great is that there's a little bit of,
well,
you know, but yeah, you guys are very unified front.
Except for that 4th-and-4 play. The 4th-and-4 decision. There'll be some fireworks there about that play that really didn't matter at all in the grand scheme of things. But I think it comes off as us being apologetic, but it's like, I think you've got to be realist and realize how far down this team was last year. And it just, it does no good. What do you want to do? Hire another coach and blow up that recruiting class and have another 2020? Because all these dudes are leaving. Everybody that you've recruited is probably done. I mean, because it ain't like you're going to go get Saban or Dabo. You're going to have to get another guy from another mid-level conference that's won, but has probably not a ton of connections in Florida, has never been a big boy head coach in a Power 5 school. And then what? You got to pray that he can make them make the adjustment. I mean, I think you're seeing enough to know that they're going in the right direction. Hopefully next year is when they expedite the darn thing. Get to 7 or 8 wins.
If Travis Hunter would stay put and you could get Lane Kiffin and he brought Luke Altmaier with him, would you do that? I would. I know you wouldn't. That's what makes our show great. We don't agree on everything. We don't agree on anything, really. That's what makes
our show great. That's the one thing that I do have a bit of a problem with this staff is that I see all around the country. And I love the culture that's been laid. I wrote it in my column. I really do enjoy watching this team. I know they're ugly at times. Not ugly, like, facially. It's ugly to watch. Good-looking group of kids.
Yes.
Good-looking group of guys.
Good job, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, well done. Great genes. But they're fun. I enjoy watching them play. They are a hard team to cheer against. Like, they are a fun team to cheer for and root for because I think they play hard and it matters to them. But what I don't like or I don't quite understand is, like, man, I just know in my heart of hearts the record might still be the same, but if Josh Heupel was the offensive coordinator at Florida State right now, they'd be average. They would have scored more than 27 points these last 2 weeks. I believe it in my soul. If Lane Kiffin was here, and I do not want Lane Kiffin as a head coach, that dude, I don't know. I think he would just take a brush fire. He would torch whatever culture you built. But I also know that in short order, he would have an offense that wouldn't be embarrassingly bad at times. He would find a way to put 30 on the board, and he wouldn't need some razzle-dazzle magician of a quarterback that's basically a running back to make plays.
I love Lane, but I don't know what Lane could do with McKenzie. That's what I was saying. Like, you bring Luke Altmaier, because everyone's like, well, he's got Matt Corral.
Well, true, no, that's what I'm saying. Don't you think the Lane Kiffin being here, the portal probably, the list of who you can buy, not buy,
menu,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the menu is a little bigger. Yes. It's like one of those, Cheesecake Factory menu.
Yeah.
And not some little one, not one of those.
It's Waffle House. It's not, yeah. It's
yeah,
not,
there's a thousand things you could. Yeah. I just think with somebody like Lane Kiffin, you probably have better odds to land a big time quarterback transfer than you would. But yes, you're right. Lane Kiffin with this group wouldn't be able to do much either. I think he schemes a little more stuff open. I think his history is there. But he's also Lane Kiffin, man, and that's a headache. But I have not been overly impressed with what they have done offensively in this year and a half. If we want to call last year, year zero, year and a half, year one, whatever you want to call it. Because I just wonder, they couldn't get Purdy ready. Purdy was their guy, and they couldn't get him ready to beat out a one-legged 23-year-old quarterback.
Well,
they can't throw.
He got better, though. Chubba Purdy got better. He didn't tell you that much. He would tell
you
that
I think there's legitimate reason to gripe at what the offensive coaching staff has done, because they've been here now. Again, we all know the headaches they had last year, but they've been here now for 18 games in that offense on Saturday again with that quarterback. But why is he your quarterback? Like, you can't just say, well, he had McKenzie Milton, what else could he do? Why isn't Tate Rodemaker better? And if Tate Rodemaker can't play, what's he doing on the roster? Did he keep another quarterback from coming because he had these four guys? Did somebody else want to transfer last year, but you took Milton instead? So these are decisions, evaluation decisions, that you kind of wonder about, but I'm certainly not giving up on them. But they also don't get a pass, a complete pass, because we just don't have players. It's like, all right, well, it's part of your job to go get players and get them ready. You know, why isn't Portier any better? Why isn't Williamson any better? Why don't they play at all? Why is Jordan Young out there in a big moment if he's going to just keep dominated by a cornerback on a rub route? Why are those things happening? You know, I just think the offensive staff, because again, that was the thing I thought was going to be the quickest fix, because this dude scores points everywhere he's been. But okay, then you start asking yourself, can this work in the ACC? I think it can. It's shown that it can. But you know, it's not consistent, and they talk about consistency all the time. Well, okay, I want to see some consistency out of this offense. These last 3 weeks are a pretty darn good chance to get right. BC isn't incredible athletically on defense. Miami's the worst defense you're going to face the rest of the way. And then Florida might not want to play. So you got a chance.
Last I checked, I think Florida State's still a 3-point underdog at home against Miami. No respect. Come on, Vegas. Tighten up. Folks, you've liked the last one out when it comes to sports betting. You don't know where to start. There's a lot to know, right? What's the minus next to the number? What's the plus? What's this all mean? What's the O/U? What's a money line? Well, understanding where the market is moving and why the numbers are the way they are and how to find the smart bets that are out there, because they are out there. I don't know if Florida State Miami is one of those. But by listening to BetQL Daily, sponsored by FanDuel, you can have fun listening about this information in the sports gambling world. And it's a must-listen show for sports bettors and fans alike. Hosts Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth serve up wagertainment, that sports talk that you're going to love, with betting insight that you need each weekday. Find out, well, again, why the market is moving where it is from the biggest sporting events. And if you missed out on earlier games, they even break it down, too, and show you why you should take that into consideration for the future. Anyhow, if you're not sure where to start with sports betting, you're not alone, so start with BetQL, that's Quebec Lima for our military alphabet fans, daily, which is presented by FanDuel. Look at that, Corey, we got FanDuel in our pocket now. Listen weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Odyssey. You can go on that website, you can watch some video, or you can listen to it on a podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
What's going on in Florida, Corey? What's going on in Gainesville? We didn't get to talk about that on Monday's show. We'd already recorded the show. Hate to see it. I didn't even get to listen to his – I really wanted to listen to his press conference on Monday and see if Dan Mullen's got any humanity in him at all and whether or not he, you know, basically putting a dagger in the back of a guy that he's coaching for 20 years in John Hevesy, if he had anything to say about that. But hate to see that kind of stuff happen, you know?
The upheaval? Yeah, I know. That really hurts you. Apparently, his press conference on Monday was the most human he's looked all year.
Okay.
It might have been like an edict from above. Like, dude, you've got to quit being Darth Vader. You've got to quit being this weird, creepy dude because this fan base does not like you. Try to at least act human. Whatever switch on your panel flips to human-esque, flip it. You just got embarrassed by South Carolina, a team that was on its fourth quarterback. He didn't wait. I guess sometimes it's just a point of no return. So he fired his DC and his O-line coach. I mean, Grantham is terrible. Grantham is just – he's been fired everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
He'll land on his feet.
Yeah, I know
he
will. It's crazy. Yeah. It's just nuts how – especially in the SEC, they just recycle him. But he went and fired the offensive line coach who'd been with him, like Aslan said, for 20 years, I think, since Bowling Green.
2001 Bowling Green, yeah, under Urban Meyer.
Yeah, so I think about that, the ride they went on together, like from Bowling Green to Florida.
Utah in between.
Utah was there, Mississippi State, where they won some games, then to Florida. Like, he had hitched his wagon to Dan Mullen, and I don't know if anybody is friends with Dan Mullen, but they must have been friendly with him, and he believed in him. And, and then they're like, okay, you just lost to South Carolina. We only put up 17 points. You're done. And then he talked about his the quarterback that he wanted to play, the Richardson kid, hurt his knee dancing on Friday night. He cleared concussion protocol, so he was going to be ready to play, apparently. He started dancing and then hurt himself and couldn't play. So not great times over there at Florida, but, not great times here either.
So back to Norvell's disposition at Monday's press conference. He seemed at ease. I don't know if he's confident in going into this. Maybe I feel he's like a guy that he wears his emotions on his sleeve and you can make a good read of it. I enjoyed how candid and open he was talking about Chuba's departure. That was cool. He didn't have to do that. But man, if you were to watch the pregame, like they do these, they've got the pregame shows kind of going on. Hey, we're 5 minutes away from kickoff in Tallahassee. And they'll show you the field and them warming up. And they're like, our Jaden Johnson spoke to Coach Norvell earlier today to get a feel for what's going on. Man, our guy was just, I think he felt like he knew he didn't have much of a shot. Although he still coached hard, the team still played hard. But I just feel the way he came out Monday and talking about things and really embracing the opportunity here to play Miami, I just feel like maybe he likes this matchup, especially if he gets his quarterback back. I mean, it's the only way he can feel good about this matchup is if he gets his quarterback back. But back to the point on the Clemson thing here, though, Corey, do we think, Florida State wasn't a get-right game for Clemson. I still don't think Clemson is all that right.
They were lucky to win that game. Yeah, they were lucky to win that game the other night.
Yeah, against Louisville. So, and then Kenny was saying that he believes, I guess talent-wise, Miami is second to only Clemson in this conference. On defense. I haven't watched a lot of their games, but I remember watching that Thursday night or Friday night game against Virginia, and I know they lost, and I know they surrendered 30-something points. But they've got they had some true freshman or maybe redshirt freshman defensive lineman that was a 5-star. I'm like, this guy is better than, he's better than not Jermaine, but he's better than most everybody else we have on our front four. They have some talent there. But again, they don't tackle well. They are surrendering about 30 points a game, a clip. So how much do we have to respect Miami or fear their defense? Cause I don't really know if we need to. I mean, it doesn't matter to us. We're just two dudes talking about it. But
no,
this is a good situation for this team to take on. This is a good matchup, I feel like. No?
I mean, there are none that are good matchups.
Really?
It's probably the best of the last. Well, I don't know, BC. I just think that They are aggressive. They miss tackles, but they come after you. And it all depends on who the – nothing is a good matchup if Jordan Travis isn't playing. You might as well punt on second or third down. It's going to be tough. And you just don't have the dudes out wide to take advantage of freshman safeties, which is what Miami has. It's going to be a lot like Georgia Tech, man. You know, Georgia Tech had two long runs. They scored on a fumble return, and that was about it. They just could not throw the ball because Jeff Sims isn't a good passer. And he's worse than Jordan Travis. And I think McKenzie Milton is clearly a better passer than both those guys, but not anymore, not with the limitations he has. So if you can't beat them up top, if you can't beat them in the passing game, you might struggle a little bit. Now, meaning if McKenzie Milton's playing, I think Jordan Travis, again, there's going to be some creases, some holes that Corbin and Ward and him can exploit, and they don't tackle well. But, man, it would be nice to have somebody out wide that you could trust to go make a play. And I don't know that they have that person, Aslan. It'd be nice if they did, but they don't. So nothing is going to be a good matchup with this offense necessarily. But, you know, they put up 35 on North Carolina. Miami put up whatever they put up, 42. But that's the problem, man. What's the race to? 30 at least, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Wait, yeah, 30. I feel like you say 38. I think anybody would take that in most every game going on this week. But that's, yeah, I think like a 38-35 game is how I see this kind of finish.
The one thing about Van Dyke that gives you a little bit of hope is, unless I read the stats wrong, he has been sacked 17 times. And that's not in a lot of games. So that's like, you know, four sacks a game since he got started. So get a couple of those, and even Miami, even the great Van Dyke, the second coming, the next Marino, the next Jim Kelly, he can't pick up a ton of third and 22s, you wouldn't think. That is good news that he does hold on to the ball a little bit long because he's always trying to make plays downfield. He's looking downfield. He's a big kid, but if you can get him on the ground, you got a chance. And you should be able to get him on the ground. He gets sacked a good bit. So that's your hope.
Yeah. We shall see, though. Just feels like – I like Florida State, the Jordan Travis element against that Miami defense. Just because I do feel they do play so aggressive, it's going to open up things. And he's been shown the ability to – you know, if you're going to give him a little bit of room, he's able to scoot through it quite quickly. But I don't – still feel a little apprehensive about Florida State's secondary matching up against Miami's pass game. But, hey, that front four, just rush them, right? That's simple as that. If you can get pressure with three or four guys, like Kenny says, really affects an offense. So, Kier Thomas, this is his game, Corey, right?
Yeah.
Wait for this moment.
Am I allowed to challenge a fan base at all? Like, and the reason I bring this up is because I was watching, and I get it, man. I would never shame anyone for not going to a game, especially the kind of money some people have to spend because of the ridiculous, stupid hotel prices in this town. But I was watching the South Carolina-Florida game, and South Carolina was 4-4 going into that game, so much like 3-5, playing not a top 20 team, and they had just lost 44-14 the week before, and they had 71,000 people at that game. It was a legitimate home atmosphere. I mean, they announced 50 at Doak on Saturday, but it wasn't 50. And this is Florida State, Miami. Like, I know Florida State fans make fun of Miami fans all the time, and with good reason, because they only show up once every 2 years. But, man, you know, I don't know what – maybe – and this isn't even – maybe not even attack on the fans as much as the administration. Figure out something to do with these tickets. Give them away. Give them to – local kids groups, because they'll make noise. Heaven knows kids, 9-year-olds are going to be screaming the top of their lungs. Do something to fill up the place, man, because this is a big game. It is a big game for Norvell. It was a big game for Taggart 2 years ago. Didn't work out for him. But it's like, man, that I guess that's where the disconnect is between me and maybe the rest of the fans. I also get that they're over it, and it's their money. It's not my money. As I always say, I get paid to go to these games. These people have to pay sometimes exorbitant amounts of money just to find a place to stay overnight. But, you know, this. I like this team. I don't think they're any good. They're not very talented, but they play hard. And it would be cool if they had a real home atmosphere. I know it won't be like Notre Dame. I get it. And there are repercussions for losing three out of your first nine games. But it's a big game, and it's a rivalry game. And it just – it like, why would South Carolina fans show up like that? What has that program ever done for them in their lives? It's given them nothing but heartache and pain. anybody that was in that stadium that was over 40 has never seen diddly poo. Oh, you remember that clowny play in the bowl game? That was our highlight of our lives. I mean, it's done nothing for them. This program has been good to Florida State fans, by and large. They've done some things. You've had a lot of fun Saturdays because of this program. That really struck me as to why in the world are there so many South Carolina fans at that game? 71,000. And Florida State, who has a similar record, playing a better opponent in a more important game, had 20,000 less than that. So hopefully there'll be more people there this week.
First-year coach, right? I think it's Shane Beamer's first year out there in Columbia. So they're still excited. Still Florida, you know.
I mean, I think that's the problem, too, is that no Florida State fan, and I'm with you guys, I get it. NC State's never going to be a big game. It's never going to feel like a big game. Not unless Phillip Rivers is the quarterback. It's just not. So I get it. Like, Florida's always going to feel like a big game to anyone because it is a big program. NC State's NC State. How many people did NC State bring on that? They could have packed Doak. How many people did they bring? 11? 40? Like, it was ridiculous. Jacksonville State brought a lot more. UMass brought as many as NC State did, and they're top 20 in the country. So, yeah, it'd be nice if these were actual football schools, but they're not. They don't travel because they don't care enough about it.
You know, that Virginia game in 2004, like, we did a good job getting up for it. It was Virginia, and it's
but
like...
But they were top 10, right?
Yeah, but it's Virginia, you know? Yeah. Like, come on. But, yeah, we got ourselves right. As fans, we all showed up, and, yeah, we were still...
Well,
you know,
do it again, guys. You got this is the last game. Think of it's senior day for Andrew Parchment. It is senior day for, like... Parchment plays a little bit better with old McKenzie, because they got to use him more on the outside. And he had a nice enough game on Saturday. But, you know, Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, DLT, right?
Yes.
Emmett Rice, probably. I know he's probably not going to play, or he's not going to play, but, you know, it's their senior days. And it's Miami.
Big baby. Did you say
so,
big baby?
Big baby, yeah. Big baby's been here for 6 years. Like, you know, get out there and support. They play hard, man. I know they don't represent the Garnet and Gold like you want them to with wins and losses, but they do. Me and Tom Lang were talking about it. It's one of the more likable teams I've covered because they do play hard every snap. They're not talented, but, man, they play hard. And you know, they might be the foundation that gets built upon to where this thing becomes a success in a couple of years. And you're going to kick yourself for not being there for Leonard Warner's senior day. If you're not there on Saturday. Plus, you want to see Van Dyke go down, the great Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Or at least tell your grandkids you got to see him in person.
Yeah. Again, like, I'm not trying to be difficult when these things come up. Because, again, I do believe they are playing better than they were last year. To say they play hard, you know, I thought Florida State played hard against Virginia in 2019. I thought they were going to roll over in that game, but they played hard. They lost, though. Like, do you see like a spirit in them that I'm not seeing? I don't think I'm not saying they play soft by any means, but they're in games. They stay in these games. I know I said yesterday they weren't competitive against NC State. I kind of misspoke. It's just that fourth quarter, nothing happened. You know, they've had opportunities. Again, they've had opportunities in the Notre Dame game, Clemson game, NC State game. They've had opportunities, Jacksonville State game, to put the other team away, and they found weird, different varying degrees of not playing well when it matters most. So that shouldn't throw the baby out the bathwater, though. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I felt like – I mean, I don't know who played in defense. Like, J-Rob played hard, I feel like, you know. He was trying.
Yeah, he was. He just he tried his best. How's he doing? Is he playing, by the way? Or did he get hurt?
He got hurt. I think I put on IR like super early in the season. So did Cam Irving just went on IR. I don't know what's going on, Kando. Man, the Chiefs. What happened to the Chiefs? That's terrible.
Yeah, man. Mahomes plays like he's concussed. Like, legitimately. Like, I don't know if he's taking a hit in practice or another game, but he doesn't look anything close to the dude he's looked like his whole career. He's been awful. They're awful. Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. But, hey, the Falcons won. That's all that matters. And, look, I'm not shaming anyone for not going. But, you know, I grew up with this fan base. I know how special it can be. It kind of is a little bit painful that, for whatever reason, South Carolina has 20 more thousand people at their game, which isn't as important as Florida State did. I don't understand it. I don't understand. Maybe it's an administration thing. Maybe the ticket prices are too high. It might all go to hotels.
Oh, it's not that. The tickets were one of the lowest – price.
Yeah. So it's like, what's going on? Are you like, I don't know. It just like, it, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm bringing it up. It's just, it was something that I noticed Saturday night watching that Florida game.
You know, Seminole Boosters president, you know, Michael Alford spoke to the reporters before Norvell's press conference on Monday. There was, I mean, you asked him how many. So what, we got three? That sounds such a like a small number, but
he said there's 380,000 Florida State graduates in the country right now, which is probably about right, that are living, I don't know, and only 2% of them are boosters. And then I asked, is that lower than normal? And he said, yeah, I think, I can't remember who the second team was.
North Carolina, I thought he said was?
Yes, he said they're like 4 or 5% of their grads are athletic boosters, but that's out of much less people. But they still have more overall members of their booster club than Florida State does. This is something that's got to be fixed.
How are there more Florida State alums than North Carolina alums?
I think it's, you know, you get 30. I think that North Carolina probably maybe has an enrollment of 20, 21,
oh, really?
And you have an enrollment of like 40. So you're doubling them up every year. I mean, Wake Forest, there's probably only 11,000 alums in the world. I mean, they're not graduating anyone at that school. So yeah, he said I think they have the sixth most. I can't remember what the stat was. But anyway, it's something that as this program ascends, that has to ascend with it. And yeah, man, if you're a great fan base, you show up. Well, I don't want to say that. You've got to – I don't think many people think Norvell should be fired. So that's what my disconnect is. If you think he's doing a serviceable job and you love your program and it's Miami week and, you know, FFM, right? I got that right.
Correct.
You know, I would think you're going to try to be in town. We got the happy hour on Friday night. Just come for that. And just go tailgate. But yeah, it was very noticeable, the difference. By the way, so FSU soccer, Aslan, I just looked it up. They are the number one overall national seed.
Let's go.
That was announced Monday afternoon.
Let's go.
They open up. I do not know the dates, but they play South Alabama in the opener. And all games are home until the College Cup. They play South Alabama. And then after that, the winner of SMU, Texas. And then out of the four number one seeds overall, Aslan, three are from the ACC.
Just means more something.
That's right.
Did you see Nebraska? You see Trev Alberts give vote of confidence to Scott Frost, like a real vote of confidence, like a graphic and everything.
Yes, and then Scott Frost announced a couple hours later that four of his coaches were fired.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
there's your vote of confidence. You could stay, but
is that going to happen here?
Maybe next year, if
no,
it's another slog,
really?
5-7, 6-6.
I don't
yeah.
want to wait, man.
If
like
it's 5-7, 6-6,
people are saying 2023 now.
Yeah, man. What do you see from this team now that you're thinking? Yeah, that's a 9-win team next year.
Nothing. They're going to lose all their good guys too. How much runway does a guy get? Like, I mean, two wins against North Carolina. It gets you like 4 years to figure it out. It's bizarre.
Well, but see what it looks like, man. Let's see what 2022 looks like before we have that conversation. I mean, there have been bigger surprises than Florida State, you know, hitting some home runs in the portal in December and then having a 7 or 8 win team next year.
Well,
but yeah, I mean,
it's less about this Travis Hunter class. Isn't it more about these guys from 2020 that, again, man, it wasn't an ideal situation putting that class together, being hired in December, but like, those guys are more important than Travis Hunter and Sam McCall. Those guys are 21 years old. They are physically, they need to be ready. Like Robert Scott needs to take a huge step next year. Like Sidney Williams needs to take a huge step next year. If those guys don't, I mean, what are
no,
we
that
doing?
Yes, correct. But you got to get most of this class in
yes,
school.
Yes.
I mean, that's priority number one, is making sure they're all coming. And yeah, man, you know, again, they had 2 weeks to recruit after Willie, and Willie cratered them. Jimbo started it. Willie cratered it. And then their only year that they were here was a stupid COVID year. So I know it sucks.
And then they had to recruit off a 3-6 season.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But a 3-6 COVID season, which, again, could have been 0-9. Now I think, again, you have a little more evidence that this program is going in the right direction. Records or not, if kids have a little bit of nuance and see – if they look at my man FemRow, that's all you got to do is just get these guys subscriptions to FemRow.
Okay.
all the recruits FIMRAL, and then you don't have to do any more recruiting. They'll be like, yeah, look at this. They've gone up 30 spots. This team's on the rise. Next year they're going to be in the top 30. So there you go. There's my plan.
Seminole Headlines airs 1 to 3 p.m. live on War Chant TV. That's our YouTube channel that you should be subscribed to. Also 93.3 FM here in Tallahassee. Practice starts around 9 in the morning. Check warchant.com. Austin Cox, Irish O'Fell, will be on site live from the jump giving you some updates. I don't know if they're explicitly going to say Jordan's here, but if Jordan makes a good play in practice, they'll say Jordan Travis just threw a nice ball to somebody, and then you'll know what's going on. So stay connected to warchant.com. He's Corey Amazon. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.